The uniqueness of Lutheranism is that it gets the New Testament doctrine of justification like nobody else.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
It's also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith. Don't lose heart. You're not crazy. You're just an Orthodox Lutheran. Be faithful, be kind, and be Orthodox.
You can listen to President Harrison's presentation and all of the speakers at the Making the Case conference on a new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, this is one of those brief encounters, it's not unheard of, that we find in the book of Acts. Sometimes it's one of the Jerusalem apostles, maybe Peter and John. Sometimes it is, you think about that Ethiopian eunuch that is so famous, met by a deacon Philip, who meets him out there on the road. And while they're out there in his chariot, they have a rather brief conversation, and then the Ethiopian eunuch is baptized. There's another one of those. It's a strange parallel to it. It is the conversion of Lydia, the seller of purple, who is, she appears to be a Gentile. She's dwelling in a Roman colony. That's what Philippi is known as. And she's there at a place of prayer, the place of prayer, down by the river. She is there with other women, and she's called a God-fearer or a worshiper of God. What does that mean? Joining us to talk about this brief encounter between Paul and his companions on his second missionary journey in the book of Acts chapter 16 and Lydia that ends in her entire household being baptized. Pastor Tom Baker, he's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
No, thank you, Todd.
There's only a few verses here, but there's a lot to talk about, including what this baptism is. But she's called a God-fearer or a worshiper of God. What does that mean? What does Luke mean in the book of Acts when he calls someone that?
I've made this point a number of times that Jesus converted very few people. I think more people were converted on the day of Pentecost than Jesus did in his entire 3 years. And yet people will say, well, what are you talking about? Remember the man born blind. He came to know Jesus as Messiah. And they give a number of examples like that. And then I point out that these people were already believers. They were believers because they trusted the Old Testament promises. And therefore, what Jesus did with many of them is he demonstrated that he was the fulfillment of those Old Testament promises. It appears that Lydia, even though she's a Gentile, because she had been around individuals, Jews, perhaps from Jerusalem, that she came to know about the Old Testament promises concerning the Messiah. And therefore, it is entirely appropriate to say she was a worshiper of God. I would put her not in the same category as Abraham, who was a worshiper of God, because he was a Hebrew, but I would put her in the same category when, for example, Jonah went to the town of Nineveh, and the whole town converted. Those people were Gentiles, yet they were worshipers of the true God, and had they died at that time, they would be going to heaven, and similarly with Lydia. So what we're talking about here is that listening to the words of Jesus with the Holy Spirit opening her heart, she came to realize that Jesus was the fulfillment of what she already believed concerning the coming Messiah.
What's the context of this brief encounter here? Where is Paul in his various journeys? Where has he been? Where is he going?
He had set sail from Troas, which was a city near Hellespont, and a direct voyage to Samothrace. This is an island on the Aegean Sea. It's about 38 miles from the coast of Thrace at the mouth of the river Hebrus. And, of course, they also then, on the following day, went to Neapolis, which is a maritime city of Macedonia on the Gulf of Sirmium. It has a port, and it's colonized by Chalcedonians. But then it also says that they remained in that city for some day and went there to Philippi. By the way, Philippi means lover of horses, but it is also a city of the Macedonia, located on or near the northern coast of the Aegean Sea, between the rivers Strymon and Nestis, and also near the cities of Neapolis and Amphilus. So that what we're talking about, this is a Gentile area, and that's why we also know there was no synagogue.
So he even explicitly says it's a Roman colony, so it's not just these ancient Macedonian cities that would have been ancient by this time.
Yes.
But also, he's squarely in Gentile territory. He's going to have to search to find any Jews, if any. What would have it taken in terms of Jewish population for there to be a synagogue, which apparently for the true worshipers of God there wasn't?
No, that shows also when they finally do find a worshiping committee, it's only made up of women. There had to be a set number of Jewish men for a synagogue worship service to take place. And I had a member of mine who delivered flowers to religious worship services. And one day, he delivered flowers, this was on a Saturday, to a Jewish synagogue. And he walked in, and the men were so glad to see him because they asked him if he would be willing to put on that head covering that they have, because they were one man short of having a worship service. And he didn't have to stay. He just had to have the head covering on, walk into the sanctuary area, and then he was able to walk out again, which he did. So they probably weren't Orthodox, because they would not have allowed a Christian to do that. They may have been conservative or Reformed Jews at this particular synagogue. But you couldn't even have a worship service without a set number of males there who had been bar mitzvahed. So this is why they went down to the river, hoping to find some people in worship.
So this is a kind of a informal place of prayer. These may well be all Gentile women who are gathered here. I would assume not only Lydia is the only God-fearer there, but the other women gathered as well. Now, let's talk a little bit about the fact that we'll get to know her a little bit. She's called a seller of purple. What would that have made her?
This particular word for purple was a dye that was extremely expensive. So this would have been a somewhat wealthy woman. And by selling these purple goods, which meant they had to have the fabric dyed in this particular dye, she would have been a wealthy, and this also opens up the possibility of a church then actually coming to her house and worshiping there.
So later, we will have Paul writing to Philippians. Is it likely that it is to the church in her house to which he writes?
It could be, because that's how the early church began. They began with small congregations in the homes of individuals who had a large enough home in order to take care of them. And in Acts 16, verse 40, we find that when they went out of prison, they went and visited Lydia. So this is only a few verses later after they were relieved from prison. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed, which means she would have had, the word brother there would refer to other Christians. She would have had Christians already there in her home.
It says, with about a minute before we take our break, it says that the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. What does that mean?
This is probably one of the most important verses in the Bible that we believe, teach, and confess the Reformation was all about this, that a person does not come to faith by their own decision, but rather it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, who opens the heart to receive the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. And therefore, this is interesting, the Lord opened her heart. That's an active verb. It's not something that she passively did, but it is something that God did for her. And opening her heart means that she now was receiving the word of God in joy, understanding it to be truth.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching our weekly Sunday school lesson with him on this Monday afternoon, August the 11th, the baptism of Lydia and her whole household in Acts chapter 16. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
Hymnody is important, very important. It's an invaluable tool that helps teach and confess the faith. Singing hymns is something we all do together on a weekly basis, yet some congregations find it difficult to sing confidently without the support of an instrument. If you are one of these congregations that can't find an organist, Church Music Solutions can help. Our substitute organist service allows your hymns and liturgy to be played on your instrument to help inspire and support your congregation's song. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota, Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're in Acts chapter 16, teaching our weekly Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. That's a radio program that he hosts. You can find out more about Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. We're at the baptism of Lydia and her household there in Acts chapter 16. Tom, it almost speaks of it in a very matter-of-fact way. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized and her household as well, then it goes on to talk about her extension of hospitality to Paul and his companions. And Luke does this over and over again. This listening to the word of God, hearing the gospel and baptism going together directly. talk about that.
That reminds what you have already said about the individual that was baptized by one of the elders, Philip. And he spoke to him on the chariot about Isaiah. He says, who is this talking about? And the eunuch wasn't able to realize it was talking about the Messiah and Jesus. When Philip spoke to him, he obviously must have brought in the Pentecost baptism, which had occurred, where Peter promised from God himself that two gifts would be received, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when the eunuch heard Philip say that, they were passing by some water, and he said, what prevents me from being baptized? And even though Paul's words to Lydia aren't all in here, it's quite clear that she was paying attention to what was said by Paul, and it appears, remember what happened to Paul himself on the road to Damascus, that soon thereafter he was baptized, and then he went to his kind of seminary education in the desert for some time. But baptism must always have been brought up for the people, because it is such an assurance that what saves you is receiving the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that if her heart was open to pay attention, and what that means, by the way, the word open here is a very interesting word. It means to break asunder. So there's almost a closed mind she had that Jesus was the Messiah, and of course the devil wanted her not to know that, but through the words of the gospel, her heart was broken open, and she therefore received Jesus as her Savior through faith, and then, of course, would want to be baptized. It's something the Sunday school teachers need to understand, that their words to the Sunday school children, they may not see an immediate effect upon the child, but how many times have we heard people who have sometimes come back to church after leaving it said, you know, I always remember what my Sunday school teacher told me about Jesus. So Sunday school teachers ought never give up in sharing this message, allowing the Holy Spirit to open the heart, even of children.
So we can be certain that what, even though Paul's actual words are not recorded here, that he is communicating to this, to these women down by the river, several things of importance. The identifying Jesus as the Messiah that they believed in Old Testament terms. He is revealing this this promised one to be none other than Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, and connecting that very act of Christ in his crucifixion with baptism. So baptism is, they are preaching a baptism to these people.
Yes, it is. The assurance, the initiation into the faith, we often talk about Pentecost as the birthday of the Christian church. And some people say, no. The Christian church lasted long before that. Wasn't Abraham part of that? No, he really wasn't. Because Abraham, his body never became the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself says that he is bringing in and ushering in a new kingdom. And this new kingdom became the Holy Christian church. It's still very much the same as the old kingdom, because we're going to see Abraham and all the Old Testament believers in heaven who looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. But now we who live after the Messiah has come and have received that Pentecost baptism, not only is our body the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we are now worthy to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ within us, referring to the Lord's Supper.
Okay. Her whole household, that's also said in a very matter-of-fact way. She is baptized, and her whole household. This seems to, we're going to see this again, actually, in just about another dozen verses with the Philippian jailer who is baptized and his whole household.
Probably one of the best books I ever read when I was at the seminary was by a Palestinian, Joachim Jeremias. He knows the Aramaic very well. And remember, much of what was said by Jesus was in the Aramaic, so we have a translation into the Greek. And he did a wonderful analysis of this and came to find out that the word household used in that day always referred, including the women and the children. In other words, when Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem because of the census, and Mary had the child Jesus, Jesus definitely would have been counted within the census. It's just really nonsense to say that children weren't part of the household. The only question is well, were there children in her household? And that's not said. But when Jesus says, permit the little children to come unto me, that means you can keep the little children from coming unto him. Well, what's the only way they can come unto him that we know of is, of course, holy baptism.
So this is a pattern that seems to be at work here when either with the apostles, either Peter and those with him or Paul and those with him encounter, well, later, the later you go in Acts, the more they're encountering Gentiles, that the preaching of the gospel, be it to Jews or Gentiles, is followed by Christian baptism.
And when we say Christian, we mean Pentecost, because there's two occasions in the Bible where the people were baptized but had not received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then when they are asked, well, what with what baptism? It was with the baptism of John the Baptizer, who, of course, was doing a ceremonial washing in preparation for repentance and the forgiveness of sins. But the Pentecost baptism is a sacramental washing in the sense that, guess what? You receive two gifts, according to Peter, as I said, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the one marked thing that's different is your body now becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, that which was never said even about any prophet from the Old Testament, many of whom have been filled with the Holy Spirit in order to believe and preach, but they had never received the gift where their bodies were the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, I want to come back to that. Her heart was opened. Is there a parallel here with, I think, a couple places, but the one that I find probably most obvious is the road to Emmaus, where the two disciples, unbelieving as they are, or, I mean, I don't even know if you call it unbelief, they don't even know what to do or what to think about this Jesus. They assume him to still be dead, although they have heard something about a resurrection. Jesus meets them on the road to Emmaus, and he opens their minds to understand the Scriptures. Same thing?
Yes. In fact, he even says to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, when their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus and he vanished from their sight, here's what they say in verse 32 of Luke 24. And their eyes were opened, guess what? The word opened, and they recognized him, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the Scriptures? And see, that is the primary purpose of a divine worship service, as well as a Sunday school teacher teaching the little ones, to open the Scriptures, not just so that they memorize the verses, but so that the verses can be applied to them, so that the little children can be as assured that God has saved them as he did Lydia, because they also have received baptism.
So it comes back to that, we would say, divine monergism. It comes back to, if someone is going to believe or know Christ to be Savior, either in the case of someone who doesn't believe or in the case of Lydia, who knows there's a Savior, she just doesn't know who it is yet. She believes everything but in that fulfillment there. It's going to be the God's work from beginning to end.
Yes, monergism simply refers, it's two Greek words, and the last one is referring to works, and that God alone does the works. We're not synergistic, which also is from the word work, where we cooperate with God in being saved. Yesterday at Emmanuel Olivet, that was what my sermon was about, using the Romans 10:9 passage, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart then you will be saved. And I said, this is not talking to unbelievers as to what they can do in order to be saved. This is instead answering the questions of Christians. How do I know that I'm saved? Well, do you confess with your mouth? Do you believe in your heart? Therefore, you are saved. And so it's really quite a difference in taking a look at a verse like that, which I consider to be one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible, that if you work at believing, then you can save yourself. And many evangelicals do still believe that. If you ask them, when were you saved? They'll say, well, on Thursday, July the 10th, 1978, I invited Christ into my heart. How sad that they could take the credit for God opening their heart. Rather, they're thinking that they opened their own heart.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, August the 11th, with him in Acts chapter 16, the baptism of Lydia and her whole house. After she is baptized, along with her whole house, she invites Paul and his companions to her house. We'll talk about that after this.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India,
Sweden, Egypt,
France, Turkey,
Japan, Australia,
Canada, United Kingdom,
Hong Kong, Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking to Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon. Generally speaking, in our lessons with Pastor Baker, we scratch the surface of and try and give a good basic foundation for getting into that Sunday school classroom and teaching these various lessons to the kids. There is more in-depth preparation. It's found in the Sunday school curriculum from which we work here on these Monday conversations called Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House, intended to be a thorough preparation for the Sunday school teacher of all ages to be able to go in and deliver what the title says, deliver Christ in every one of these Sunday school lessons, as we do here on the radio. Find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and they'll send you a free sample of Growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Tom, she listens to Paul. She and her whole household are baptized. And then she not only just invites them to come. She says, let's see, what does she say? If you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay, and she prevailed upon us. What's she saying there?
She wants them to come, and she wants even more to hear. And she's doing it on the basis that she's asking, have I not been faithful to the Lord? Now, the word she uses for faithful, at least translated in the original Greek, is the word for faith. It's pistis, and it is what Paul talks about, that we're saved by grace through faith. So for her to say to be faithful to the Lord means she believes the promises in connection to the Messiah. That's truly saving faith. And therefore, she encourages to come into her house and abide there. And some translations say she prevailed upon us, constrained us, persuaded us. But the point is, she was really strong, almost employing force, although not really, but just really trying to persuade them, please come. And why did she want to have them come? Because, boy, when you taste some good food and you're really hungry, you want a lot more of it. And she knew if they would come to the house, they weren't going to be talking about architecture or how to build a house. They were going to be talking about Jesus Christ and the Holy Christian Church.
So she is probably aware of the fact that Paul and his companions will move on at some point, but for the time being, she wants them in her house so that she can continue to hear God's word from them.
That's absolutely correct. That the item that we're really concerned about here is that Paul really didn't have any idea who he would be talking to. And I think this is really important for the Sunday school teachers. They have no idea before a Sunday school lesson what impact they're going to have on the souls of their hearers. And that's why they really need to study the word and make sure they make the proper application from a law and gospel point of view. Yesterday, I over the weekend, preached three times at Emmanuel Olivet and met three people who really were interested in joining the church. They were kind of visitors, and they loved the liturgy. They loved the message, the Bible class. And one of them I handed over to the elder who was in charge of the late service, Dick Crane, and he was taking down their phone number. Nobody knew that day those three people would show up and also become so moved by the worship service that they wanted to join the congregation. And so now it's going to be up to the pastor to visit with them, maybe bring them into an adult instruction class. And that's what a Sunday school teacher needs to realize. She could be talking to a future deaconess, a future pastor, or a future layperson who's going to be very instrumental. One of the problems I had at St. James when I was in University City for 28 years, we were very close to the seminary. And so some great people would join the church, but then they loved theology so much, they ended up going to the seminary. At one time, I had four of our members attending the seminary, and of course, I lost their gifts working in the congregation. So we do need lay people who are immersed in the Word of God and understand what Lydia came to understand so that pastors can be helped in the ministry of the church in a specific congregation.
It's interesting how you see the direction of the Holy Spirit in retrospect here in the book of Acts, because this brief encounter with Lydia will cause the apostles here to stay in Philippi for a bit, return to this place of prayer where they're going to encounter, in just a few verses, a demon-possessed girl that's being used by some sorcerers or something like that, some people who are making money off of her predictions. She is exorcised. This lands both Paul and Silas in jail, leading to yet another conversion of an entire household. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, what happens is another opportunity for a witness, because Paul says, I command you, and he's speaking to the demon, in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and it came out that very hour. But the owners who owned her, she was a slave, they saw their hope of profit was now gone. And they seized Paul and Silas and took them before the rulers, saying the advocates advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. And guess what? The crowd joined in attacking them. The magistrates tore the garments off them, gave orders to beat them with rods. Well, guess what happens? They go to a jail, and because of that particular situation, the Philippian jailer comes to faith, and also his whole household. In fact, when they brought him into his house after they were released from prison miraculously, he rejoiced along with his whole entire household that he had believed in God. And by the way, they were all baptized. This is verse 33. He and all his family. So I was in a conversation recently with somebody who had gone through a difficult situation. He was having surgery. And I said, what's a good thing that came out of that surgery? And he really didn't know, except he was feeling a little better. But he and I had a discussion that he didn't like people saying when asked, are you saved? And he would say, he would hear, I hope so. He said, it's not I hope so. And I said, you know, that's probably why God had you have that surgery, so you could help teach me, Pastor Tom, not to use the term hope in the way that you're using it, lest I give a misunderstanding. And I included him in Sunday's sermon. And who knew that I would be learning some good theology from somebody who just had surgery.
So what's the basic message for the Sunday school classroom this week on this story from Acts chapter 16, Lydia and her household being baptized?
It appears to me that the basic message is the reason her heart was able to be opened is because Paul was using the means of grace. Nothing is more important than using the means of grace. The law is not the means of grace. It instead shows us that we don't have much of a chance to save ourselves. In fact, we don't have any chance. But the gospel, and the Sunday school teachers need to understand that the gospel are the gracious promises given to us because of the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And by sharing those with these Sunday school teachers, their hearts are also opened and therefore are being prepared for the time when persecution, suffering, or crisis reaches them.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts the radio show called Law and Gospel, and we will post a link to Law and Gospel under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Next week, we'll have Pastor Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Paul's shipwreck in Acts chapter 27. Tom, thanks for your time.
And thank you, Todd.
Folks, how would you like to listen to more than 8 hours of teaching from some of your favorite Issues Etc. guests, Matt Harrison, Jonathan Fisk, Chris Roseborough, Will Whedon, Craig Parton, and Al Schmidt? Now, you'll find these teachings, all 8 hours of them, plus more, on the new audio DVD from this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We will send this audio DVD to you. For a contribution of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day, you can order your audio DVD online, issuesetc.org. You'll find a logo there. Just click on that. It'll take you where you need to be. Or you can make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Make sure you write audio DVD in the memo line of your check. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have to have Dr. John Warwick Montgomery answer this question. It's about a new study claiming that children exposed to religion have a difficult time separating fact from fiction. Is that true? It's always the way the Holy Spirit does His work. He opens the heart through the Word, and He brings us into God's kingdom through baptism. Has it changed in all these millennia? Thanks for listening.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a visual Bible resource. Lutheran Bible Companion contains more than 600 photographs, illustrations, and detailed maps that bring to life biblical times. Find out more about Lutheran Bible Companion at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Bible Companion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.